Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, a football Friday. Even if the Texans aren't necessarily playing this weekend, we still got plenty to dissect and get excited about and talk about. You could join the conversation over the next 4 hours, 713-572-4610. Get to us on the YouTube and Twitch chats as well. Happy to be in again for the fellas. Are we feeling better about the Texans without them even playing? Do you feel better after seeing last night's result on Thursday Night Football where the Giants, as a 7.5-point underdog, not only beat the Eagles, but beat them by 17. You know, I brought some positivity yesterday when looking at the future of the Texans. Then we get that result last night. B. Scott, how are we feeling today? Are you feeling better about the next couple of months here for the Texans based off of what we've been seeing lately in the NFL?
I do. I like your argument a lot better from yesterday when you were saying that the Texans were in a spot or in the perfect spot or a spot where they want to be in, given what's around, and not just the fact that they're playing better, but the fact that you can't really make a lot of what you're seeing around the league. Like, there's a lot of mediocrity out there.
Oh, yeah.
And the Texans are right there in the midst of it. They just happen to be on, or appear to be at least, on the upswing of it. But right there in the middle of what Sean Pendergast was just saying a moment ago, it's like, you know, 20 teams that are in the middle class of the NFL right now. And then you take it to last night, where, as you mentioned, the Giants as underdogs beat the defending Super Bowl champions. And if you had gone before the season and you were just chalking up wins and losses and trying to pick, schedule pick, if you will, you would have given the Eagles this game and probably in the opposite direction, maybe even by the two touchdowns or, you know, by the double digits that the Giants won by. And so what it tells me is that really anything goes right now. Anything can happen right now. Like, I wouldn't have predicted before the season that the Texans would be in a position to beat the Ravens on the road.
Right.
And I wouldn't have predicted by the following Thursday that the Giants would be in a position to beat the Eagles on the road. But what are we seeing around the league? The teams that were at the top, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Ravens. I mean, you just look around across the board, there is a lot of uncertainty. I talked about discord with the Eagles going into this game and them just being an interesting watch from that standpoint,
yeah.
Their talent versus the vibe around that team. And then what do? They go out there and they do the exact thing that they've been doing, where they have like a tale of two games, you know, where they'll be dominant for a stretch and then they go missing, or they start off terrible and then they're dominant late. This one just happened to be where they look like the Eagles early on and then they disappear for the rest of the game. And that just speaks to the unpredictability of the league right now. So I do feel better about the Texans' chances just because I can't feel great about anybody's chances.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One's bad. Yeah. I mean, there's more parity than ever right now in the NFL, and that's a statistical fact in the sense of we've had more games be a one-score game in the final 2 minutes than any other season to this point, any other season in NFL history. So we've had more closer competition this year in the NFL than any other year. And the last Thursday night football games kind of proved that point, where last Thursday you had the Rams as big favorites against the Niners. The Niners were all beat up, injured, on the road, still won that game, which maybe actually gave you more reason to be concerned about the Texans on Sunday, but they took care of business. And then last night, to your point, not only preseason, I had friends texting me yesterday, you know, because I'm from the Northeast, so I have Eagles friends and I have Giants friends, and, you know, the Eagles fans are saying, oh, we're going to, this is going to be a, what a boring game tonight, yada, yada, yada. And the Giants end up winning by 17. So just look at the last two Thursday night football games where we think the Rams are really good. They suffer that loss. You think the Eagles are good. They suffer that loss last night. And like you said, I mean, everyone's kind of a paper tiger right now. The Eagles were 4-0, but they were outgained in all four of those victories. And people were kind of pointing to this regression that we've seen the last 6 days, really. The Bills. The teams the Bills have beaten this year are a combined 3-17. They really haven't been tested yet. The Colts have 3 wins against teams that each have 1 victory right now through 5 weeks. And their defense looks better than maybe we thought, but also has allowed 28-plus points twice already this year. The Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence has a 78 quarterback rating. He has as many turnovers as touchdowns, but the defense leads the league in forced turnovers. Is that going to continue this year? So when you look around at the teams that have the good records now, it's very easy to poke holes in them, like the Eagles about a week ago, and then look what happened with Philadelphia. So my point being, that very well could happen. The Colts could go into a slide. The Bills, the Jaguars, we don't know how good any of these teams truly are right now.
Yeah, you're seeing it across the league, and even if you just isolate it to the AFC, like, think about it. If the AFC South right now, through 5 games, and I know they're, you know, 5 games and counting, if the AFC South right now looks like the best division in the AFC, but you deep down don't truly believe in the teams that are at the top of the AFC South, then what does that tell you? It tells you that it's a division that can be had, much less that it's a conference that can be had that's in peril to a certain degree. So, yeah, no, I don't think that you can be sold on anyone. I don't think you can look at the Texans' schedule and say, oh, well, this is a team that they can't beat, or this is a game where they're kind of against the – they're kind of, you know, up against the A-ball or anything. Like, for me, I'm actually at a point where I just – I want to see close games now, because I want to see how do the Texans perform in close games. Like the fact that you have so many close games, and this is going to be the difference between the good teams and the not so good teams. Where do the Texans fall along that ledger? Because that was my issue with the point differential argument yesterday, right? Like, yeah, it's great that they got a high point differential, but it's hard to believe in the amount of points that they won those games by because of the teams that they played. But if they can win a close game against, say, a Seattle team, or a close game against the 49ers or the Broncos, or when they play the Colts, like, that'll be a little bit more or a lot easier to believe in, I think, or a lot more convincing in their favor.
And I think everyone right now is beatable. I mean, we saw that with the Bills. We saw that with the Giants, even the Lions this year. Take any team that has one of those top records, the Colts, the Jaguars, they don't scare me to the sense of thinking like, oh, no way could the Texans or no way could this other team actually beat the teams. I mean, that's the great thing about the NFL. And it's what I said to Lopez on Wednesday when we were going through the next 2 months and these tough 8 games coming up for the Texans after the bye. But as you already alluded to earlier, like, who would have ever guessed Sunday's game against the Ravens would have gone that way a couple weeks ago? And who would have ever thought that the Ravens would be that depleted by the time the Texans got to Baltimore? Somewhat similar in as we try to forecast forward and you look at the schedule and think like, oh man, it's going to be a really tough 3-game stretch coming up a little bit later on. But we have no idea what sort of shape these teams are even going to be in when the Texans get there. You know, the 49ers are already banged up, and that's still 2 more weeks away. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be for that game. So you just don't know who you're going to get on the other side, along with this idea that even when teams are healthy, everyone right now is gettable in the NFL.
Yeah, and then on the Texan side of it, like, if you're just to focus on yourselves, we talked about this, it does look like they found some things, right? They looked early in the season or earlier in the season, right? The first couple of games, like, they were still trying to find themselves, still trying to figure out who their playmakers were, their offensive line, not in shambles, but not fully healthy and new already. So, like, trying to figure that part out. They seem to have found a little bit of a rhythm, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. And then the defense is one of the better in the league, that as we talked about. So it's not like you're working from scratch or working with nothing, you're legitimately playing a lot better football at a time where it's just a really uncertain landscape around the league. So these two things working together, working in concert, are reasons to be encouraged about the Texans, even in the bye week. I mean, it's been a real interesting sports watching week to kind of be in this space of your football team's on the bye week, and so you're not completely focused on the next game because the next game is 2 weeks later. Your baseball team is out of it for the first time in a decade. So it's literally been a decade since you weren't really just like all in on postseason baseball. You get to watch it kind of as a casual observer, which is also fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, you had Kevin Durant debut earlier in the week.
It's true.
It's just a real unique week. But specifically on the Texans, I feel like I've only gained more encouragement starting with Sunday all the way into last night's game and just kind of understanding that more is probably possible than what you were giving it credit for earlier in the season.
Yeah, I think so. I also think part of that, too, is that's what happens when you don't play. So, like, even this Sunday, and I think a lot of Texans fans could watch a look around the league, and, you know, since the Texans don't have a chance of losing and you see some other teams lose and you can feel even better about them. Cornbread said division games. You know, that's the Niners and the Rams. Last night was a divisional game. Sunday when the Bills lost to the Patriots, divisional game. And, yes, those are always more of a toss-up, but that gives you more hope for the Texans to go up against the teams ahead of them. I know they already lost to the Jaguars.
Yeah.
That was a toss-up game, too.
Yeah, that's making the point, actually.
Yeah, right.
That's making the exact point. We even talked about this yesterday, how it – and it's a little unsettling, but it does feel like in some ways you need to, if not run the table, at the very least you got to split with the Colts, and you need to win that next game against the Jags, and there's no 100% reason to lose to the Titans under any circumstances. And so – depending on how you look at it, you might even really need to sweep, and it's hard to expect that going forward. But, I mean, you're looking at it, and you're like, hey, man, there's just so much parity. Like, that is possible.
For sure. I'll say this about the Texans and the division. They have the best unit of the three teams, their defense. It's hard to rank special teams, but right now the Texans have the number one special teams in terms of DVOA as well. So they have two of the three best units in the division. And defense, we know, defense travels, defense usually carries. That can get you a far away. The other teams, when you look at their strengths, those are surprises. Like when you look at the Colts, you're surprised that Daniel Jones is playing so well. When you look at the Jaguars, you're surprised by how many turnovers they're getting on defense. When you look at the Texans, you're not surprised by how good this defense is. This is what this defense was supposed to be for the Texans. And that's what has been their strength. It's what's the strength of the division. So my point being, if you believe in regression to the mean for Daniel Jones, and you believe the Jaguars' defense is going to regress to the mean as well, you probably don't feel that same way about the Texans' defense. But if you think those things are going to turn, you might feel like the Texans' offense can't be this bad or as bad as the first 3 weeks, you know, all season.
I would, though, keep an eye on the Daniel Jones thing, though, right? Because I agree, it is shocking. But mm-hmm. the unsettling part about it is that it is also convincing. Like, it looks sustainable. Like, he looks comfortable.
I think it is.
He looks like a good fit with Shane Steichen. So I don't want to dismiss what they're doing. I just think that the Texans are a lot closer than they looked a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. How do you feel as a Texans fan after watching last night? Maybe indifferent. Or did seeing the Giants blow out the Eagles give you even more hope for the Texans' future of this season, especially with this tough schedule coming up after the bye? You can let us know on the text line, 713-572-4610. Just getting started on this football Friday. Let's be positive on this Friday. Let's feel good about the Texans, even though they're not playing this weekend. Hey, when we come back, the Astros obviously unloaded a few of their coaches yesterday. Now that they've made those changes, what moves would you still like to see this offseason? What would you like to see next? What is still on your wish list as an Astros fan? Let us know, 713-572-4610. We'll get to that next. Just getting started. It's in the loop.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.